Award-winning illustrator and self-proclaimed cosmic cowboy, Tony Moore, is my guest today. Tony's best known as the co-creator of the graphic novel The Walking Dead, which is now a smash success television drama, which is entering its third season on AMC. Tony, thanks for taking the time to come by and visit.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
First and foremost, what does a cosmic cowboy do all day?
Usually I drag myself out of bed and try to get properly caffeinated to lubricate the neurons, and then sit down and get to work on making comic books. That's pretty much my life, day in and day out. I actually just had to ask somebody what date it was, because all the days are the same to me. It's just a blur of pages and dirty diapers.
Right, because you have a young daughter in the house now.
Yeah.
And when you're creating your illustrations, we're talking traditional pen and ink. You don't do much on the computer, do you?
I use Photoshop a lot for like coloring, and I use a lot of digital stuff for like the planning stages, but when it comes to the execution of the piece, it's still very much meat world, traditional pen and paper, brush work and stuff like that.
What is your artistic background? You grew up in central Kentucky, right?
Yeah, not too far from here, down in Cynthiana, Kentucky. I was really big into comics and horror movies and stuff my whole life. I was president of art club in high school and went off to college. I actually came up here for my freshman year and went to the art academy. It was really draining on the family expenses, so I went back down to the University of Louisville and crammed my four-year degree into about 6.5 years and used all that, basically just tried to apply it toward comic illustration, even though it was all painting and printmaking and classical drawing kind of training.
So it was more of a fine arts background.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've read leading up to researching for this conversation, you say that you've always wanted to be a comic book creator.
Pretty much. I literally learned to read reading Mad Magazine and the Sunday comics and stuff like that. So, yeah, I couldn't really think of anything that I was going to do with my life other than that. I mean, for a while, I didn't know if it was going to be like a viable career for like earning actual money to pay bills. So I thought maybe I could go into forensics or something like that. I was a big science nerd in school, so with the forensic school down in Knoxville, I thought maybe that could be something I would do, but I ended up going to art school, and it seems to have panned out pretty well so far.
You and Robert Kirkman started The Walking Dead, the graphic novel, back in 2003, but before then, you two had collaborated on other titles as well.
The first books that either of us ever did, we did together. When I was finishing my freshman year up here, he contacted me, asked me if I wanted to do some books. Neither of us had any idea what we were doing, and we just kind of reverse engineered the process. We knew what they looked like when they were finished, and so we just kind of worked backwards from there. Fortunately, we had some friends who had done it before us, and they gave us a little bit of a leg up and steered us out of the dark a little bit. But yeah, that was pretty much it. Just about 3 years of kind of grinding the indies before we got some mainstream attention.
And what sort of titles did you work on?
I did a book called Battle Pope. We did a book called Brit. And then my first paying gig I also did with him was a license for the He-Man comics. We did Masters of the Universe Beast Man. It was like the Beast Man origin. Really heady stuff on that one, yeah. But it was a childhood wish fulfillment for me, because when I was a kid, He-Man was my jam.
So what then led you to do zombies?
Just a big fan of horror stuff.
But it was a conscious decision that we're going to do a story about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, horror stuff in general really wasn't commercially viable as far as the genre in comics. There hadn't really been a lot of horror comics that had really taken hold in any way. Steve Niles had done 30 Days of Night a couple years earlier, and it got pretty good response, but for the most part, horror stuff really wasn't around in comics back then, but we wanted to give it a whirl, and fortunately, it just seemed to kind of be in the zeitgeist and lightning in a bottle kind of scenario.
I also know from doing some reading about the development of the title and the storyline is there's also a sense of social commentary going on aside from the whole survival aspect of the story.
All the best, I mean, not to necessarily say that this is among the best, but the best zombie stuff always has that kind of underlying social commentary going on with it. The original Night of the Living Dead by George Romero had some really good race equality undertones through it. And then when Tom Savini remade it in the 90s, it had a definite feminist slant to it, where Barbara was a much more strong character and it was about her. And then Romero's Dawn of the Dead has some really deep, pretty overt anti-commercialism, kind of a consumer zombie stuff with zombies running around the mall and all that stuff.
Well, there's also that permeating idea that society as we know it today is fragile and that the people are struggling to be self-sufficient. And it's just normal, ordinary survival skills are something that we're now starting to lose because of our culture of convenience.
I grew up on a farm, so I know just in the last few years, like, I've gotten incredibly soft. And when I think about the way I live now versus how my grandparents had to live, night and day difference. So, yeah, I think there's that. And I think on some level, America has this romantic fascination still with the frontier, and we've never really moved past that because we're still kind of in it. I think we still kind of fantasize, like, could we hold up in those situations? Could we go back if we had to? I don't really know, but I think that has something to do with it.
Getting back for a second to your art training and your artistic talents, when I look at your work, specifically the covers that you did for The Walking Dead and some other items that I saw on your website, I'm really touched by how stark they are. There's a lot of strong sense of almost like a monochromatic coloring to a lot of your pictures, and how much of that is totally conscious and how much of that just develops as you do the piece?
Sometimes when I go into a cover, I always get like a concept either from the writer or the editor or whoever I'm dealing with on it, what kind of thing it needs to encompass. So generally I can get an impression of what that image needs to be fairly quickly. And sometimes it comes to me fully formed, just kind of flashes in, and I just do it. But sometimes I have to noodle with it a lot to massage it into place or straight up beat it into submission, depending on how difficult it is. I'm always trying to push myself into color schemes and things like that that are maybe not necessarily standard color schemes that you see on comic covers. And I try to, as far as like the style of how I draw covers, I'm still a storyteller, so I don't really do like designy covers. I'm not really great with bare bones graphic design. I try to compose covers as well as I can, but for me, it's still about that NC Wyeth type illustration where it tells a story, and in a single image, the best you can really hope to do is imply that something has just happened, show something happening, and imply that something else is about to happen. And you leave it with some open questions, and I think that's what makes the most intriguing cover illustrations. So that's what I try to do every time I sit down for one.
You'll be making a personal appearance at the Cincinnati Comic Expo this year, along with Chandler Riggs, who's the young actor who plays Carl on the TV series The Walking Dead. What kind of things can visitors expect at this year's expo?
It should be a lot of fun. We got some really good guys coming in, and girls. Jeff Darrow, who was the head designer on The Matrix, designed all those awesome robots and stuff. He's also doing the covers for this Deadpool book that I'm doing at Marvel now, which is pretty exciting. He's going to be down. Mike Norton, who just won an Eisner Award for his webcomic Battle Pug, is going to be down. Katie Cook, who draws stuff for Lucasfilm and does the My Little Pony comics and has a great webcomic called Gronk. She did the Fraggle Rock comics. She's going to be down. There's a Swamp Thing reunion of artists kind of from the earlier runs of Swamp Thing that are all going to be down. George Perez, who did these amazing pieces. He's known for just cramming a bajillion figures into every piece, but he does these really great superhero pieces. He's been around for forever, and he's an absolute machine. He's going to be there. It's a pretty exciting lineup. I'm really excited.
Speaking of which, you've recently done some work with Marvel Comics, like you said, on such titles as Ghost Rider, Punisher, Venom. What other projects do you have coming up in the future?
I'm working on Deadpool over there at Marvel. The stand-up comedian Brian Posehn, who's been on the Sarah Silverman program and did the Comedians of Comedy tour with Patton Oswalt and Maria Bamford and those guys. He is co-writing it with Jerry Duggan, who is one of the head guys on Attack of the Show on G4 and also was up for an Eisner Award for a book he did recently called Infinite Horizon, which is basically the Odyssey kind of in a futuristic setting. Really great stuff. So neither of those guys are slouches, and fortunately they get to team up their best efforts and I get to try to do it justice on the page. But yeah, Deadpool's pretty fun. It's a lot more lighthearted than anything I've done in a long time. So it's more relaxing kind of cartooning that I'm able to do, which is fun. I get to channel more of those Mad Magazine influences than I've been able to in the past. So I'm really excited.
Speaking of fun, tell me about the Exterminators.
That was a book I did at Vertigo with a guy named Simon Oliver, and it's basically like a blue-collar group of guys. Most of them are misfits and ex-cons and all kinds of social outcasts who kill bugs in L.A. So there's all kinds of really great kind of black comedy moments throughout that as we get to see the underbelly of L.A. As it progresses, it kind of delves into some supernatural, almost X-Files-y territory. We had an absolute blast on that book. That was one where every time I got a script, I would laugh all the way through it, and then every horrible situation that he'd written into it, I tried to somehow make it worse before it got it to print. So we had a blast on that thing, and we ran 30-some issues over at Vertigo, which is DC's adult imprint. But yeah, it was a blast.
Thank you very much for your time, and thanks for coming to visit with us.
Oh, thank you.
It's been my pleasure to speak with Tony Moore, artist, illustrator, comic book creator, and cosmic cowboy. Tony will be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo September 22nd and 23rd at the Duke Energy Convention Center. For links to more information about Tony and the expo, visit us at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jim Nolan.
I've seen the demons, but they didn't make a sound. They tried to reach me, but I lay upon the ground. I've seen the people, but they didn't make a sound. They tried to reach me, but I gave the run around. I reached your feelings, but they didn't make a sound. They tried to reach me, but I lay